and happy Mother's Day, and we're glad you're here. In case the rest of you are wondering what's in the card, it's a happy Mother's Day card with a Dairy Queen coupon. So you can, woo, okay. Okay, just for a couple of announcements before we move on. We'll have our midweek service Wednesday, and then the ladies' Bible study, that's over, correct? Okay, and so if you come here Tuesday morning at 9:30, well, you can clean. There's vacuum cleaners or something over here, and you can find something something to do. We're tentatively planning something for the teens at the end of June, so keep that in mind. That's in the lower left corner. There's a congratulations to Mackenzie. Congratulations, and you're leaving the United States soon, huh? In August, so you got 3 months to enjoy good Minnesota weather. I should tell you, yesterday afternoon, well, it started Friday, I went to Northfield. Brenda and I traveled to Northfield, and we did a wedding for Jared Lundstrom. Some of you remember Jared, who came to church for about 3 years when he went to Ridgewater. He's from the Iron Range. And about a year ago, they asked, Tom, would you marry us? And so they wanted an outdoor wedding. Brenda sat on a heated seat all the way home last night and still didn't get warm. It was cold. It didn't rain until we were ready for the vows. And the vows got soaked. In fact, they passed out umbrellas to the wedding party, and the couple is standing there with this umbrella over them, and they tipped the umbrella, and all the water came right down on the vows I'm reading. But it wasn't that big a deal. We made it through, and the bride's dad sang a song, and he did a very nice job in the rain, and he was kind of emotional. And I says, well, there's one good thing. The rain hides the tears. He said, exactly. And that's what happened for him. So that was, overall, it was a nice wedding, I guess. Okay, so... And then there's some parties that are in this little flyer right here, and I'll let you take a look at those. You're all invited to that. They're coming up, aren't they? Keep those in mind. And then also for the those on the sick list, I don't know how to put this in front of Frida, but her son Steve is progressing slowly, more slowly than we'd like. So anyway, we'll continue to pray for him. That would be appreciated. Also, as we think of all the health issues, and I won't read through all the names right here. You can do that, but we should pray for our country. We should pray for our president, President Trump. We should pray for our legislative bodies. And this country really does need prayer. We're going through, it's just crazy times. And I don't know how some of our politicians can even look themselves in the mirror, but apparently their consciences have been seared with hot irons, and this is the environment that we're living in. One of the things we noted in Sunday school this morning was this, is that during the time of Israel being slaves in Egypt, it wasn't a very pretty time for them either. But they had a hope. They had a Messiah. And those that didn't lose that hope had courage to go on. And so I'll just remind you that we have a Savior. And He's coming again. And as we look forward to that day, it can give us courage today. And so let's not forget that. So let's open our Bibles, if we would, to the book of Proverbs. And this morning, I'm going to read a passage that's probably going to be read more times across this country on Mother's Day than probably any other passage. And it's the passage that describes a superwoman. Proverbs chapter 31. This is my Mother's Day shirt, but it doesn't have a pocket. All right. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word it tells us of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die, to pay the penalty for sin, and frees up God the Father to give us forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. We thank you for that. And we just pray that every day we live, we'll be more and more grateful for who you are and what you've done for us. We want to just remember Mother's Day, and we want to thank you for our mothers. And at the same time, as the scripture talks about the importance of parenting and getting involved with our children, we just pray that mothers could be appreciated and would be willing to step up to the task. And as we think of so many families where fathers are not stepping up to the task and in many cases are just gone, we just pray that in your grace you could undertake for this dire situation, and that mothers could somehow pick up some of the slack and encourage people and their children in particular in the right direction. And so we pray for that. We want to just commit our nation to you. And with all of its ills and problems, we know that what this nation needs is the grace of God. This nation needs to have a real turning to the biblical principles and the values that are found only in your word. And so we just pray that those of us who have respect for the word of God, who love you, would indeed not shirk or renege on our responsibilities to uplift the very grace that saved us. And so we pray that we would be faithful to you and be those responsible citizens that this country needs. We pray for our president, President Trump, and for those around him. We just pray that the decisions that he makes would be wise and would be helpful. And we just thank you for every person in leadership who is willing to stand up for what is right. And so we pray to that end. We want to just commit this morning to you, this service, and we just pray that the time spent here this morning would be an encouraging time as we would look and see what the Word of God has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand and we'll greet one another and we'll continue our service in just one moment. It's Mother's Day again. And let's just begin with just making a few comments. And I'll just make a few comments here about just the direction our country is going in. And I just wrote this down. The Bible is no longer respected as the guide for life. And I think we could all agree that in our country, the Bible is not referred to at all. I don't care what TV shows you like to watch. How many of you like to watch Dr. Phil? If you've noticed, the Word of God is not used as a reference in shows, not just him, but in all kinds of self-help programs, etc., etc. And what's sad is this, is that even in our Christian circles, or so-called Christian circles, the Word of God is not consulted like it should at all. And lastly, I'm here to tell you that all aspects of our life should be directed by the Scripture, should be based on the Scripture. I believe this, that as we think of the over 7,000 promises in the Word of God, that there is something for every person in every situation in life, and the Word of God is the basis for that. And what's interesting about the Word of God is that it complements itself. And as we start to get into the Word of God, not only is there harmony among Scriptures, but there can be harmony in our own life. And it's one of those blessings that comes with showing respect for God and who He is. Well, this morning we read Proverbs chapter 31. And like I say, this morning on Mother's Day, this passage is read in church after church after church after church. This is the Mother's Day passage, so it would seem. And as we stop and we think of directions in the Word of God, and I find this kind of interesting, there are directions given to fathers, there's directions given to husbands, there's directions given to wives, there's directions given to all other leaders, but there is no direction specifically given to mothers. And you think, wow, that doesn't, well, there's parents that are mentioned, that plural, that would include mothers, but we just don't find a verse that says, now mothers. We just don't find that. We find now husbands, we find now wives, but we don't find now mothers. And so we come to a passage like this, and what can we extract from it? And this morning we read the 10 through 31. And if you stop and you think about this, this indeed is a superwoman. If you just read what she did, I mean, does she ever sleep? She buys and sells land. She plants vineyards. Not only clothes her own family, but she makes extra stuff as merchandise and sells it. And she cooks, and she has meals ready. She gets up before the sun, and she stays up after the sun sets, getting ready for the next day. You wonder, wow, indeed we have described here a superwoman. And you say, how can this be, and how can any of us actually follow this right here? Well, I'm going to say this about the Word of God. When the Word of God gives us directions to follow, it's not going to say, and I was just thinking of the verse, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you know that to be as kind as Christ is kind? That's what that verse is saying. How many of us could say we are that kind? But how many of us would expect the Bible to say, well, I know you can't do it, so just be sort of kind. So let's rewrite the verse. Be sort of kind one to another. No, the Bible gives us the standard that we should be looking at. And even though in this life we can never attain to that particular standard, we should know what the standard is. And that should be the goal in our life. And so as we stop and we think of this, the Bible describes husbands as ideal. If you really wanted to find women a biblical husband, you won't get married. Everything is described as the ideal. Does that make sense? And yet, we can find principles and we can extract things that can be encouraging to us. And we need to remember that any good quality is only available to us by the grace of God. That's why we need to stay focused on His Word. And it's the Holy Spirit that's in us that makes our work effective. And I might just make a comment about being effective. There's many good things that we can do as Christians, but making that good thing or that work effective and in influencing other people, that's up to the Holy Spirit. And that's where we can relax in doing the work of the Lord. Does that make sense? It's not my job to make you change. In fact, some of you are very unchangeable. And if you don't believe it in your marriage, just ask your spouse. It takes a long time to change, doesn't it? But what can we do? What can I do? What can any of us do? We can just simply give principles that the Holy Spirit can take and work on your heart. So, in one sense, I've got an easy job. Let's just look at what the Scripture says, and what you do with it is your business. But I want to encourage you and tell you this, that what you do with it, what you do with the Word of God, what you do with the principles found in the Word of God, have eternal consequences. If you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says the consequence for that is eternal condemnation in a place prepared for the devil and his angels, the lake of fire. That is not a pretty consequence. I would implore you. And while I can't make anyone trust in Jesus Christ, I can encourage you, please consider what He has done for you on the cross. If you're here and you've made that decision, and you're sitting here as one of God's children. Did you know that those 7,000 plus promises, most of those are written to God's children and are given as principles and in many cases instructions for how to live our life, how to build on the foundation. And if we pay attention to the Word of God, in heaven someday there'll be a reward. It'll be called gold, silver, and precious stones. But if we're not careful on how we build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, we will suffer loss because what we have is hay, wood, and stubble. Now here again, I can't make, or nobody else can make anyone go from hay, wood, and stubble to gold, silver, and precious stones. That is your decision. But I implore you that if heaven is real and we have a future, it behooves us today to consider what God has to say. Don't ignore His Word. And let's go on. Let's take a look at this woman in the family right here. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, and just look at a few preliminary things. The excellent wife. And the first thing we note in verse 10 is this, is that she is rare. That should be encouraging, all right? But that's what it says. She is rare. Now, I know all of you are pretty good wives, or we'll broaden the category of excellence to include you. No, we'll broaden that, all right? Okay. And who can find one? And I hope you husbands believe that you have found one. And if you want to be, put your head in the sand and believe you found the excellent wife, good for you. You treat her just that way. How valuable is she? Her worth is far above jewels. In other words, an excellent wife really can't be bought with money. And so as we look at this and we look at the description of her, we find some principles in this particular passage. And I've already mentioned this looks like Superwoman. And so I don't believe the instruction here is to stay up all night and sew and go and make real estate transactions and sell things in the street and all of that stuff. That is not what the instruction is right here. But what we find are some characteristics of the ideal mother and wife. And the first one we see is in verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. And as we read on, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And what is the general principle? The general principle is this. Wives, your husbands are lucky to have you around. Does that make sense? I kind of made that sound a little colloquial, but nonetheless, it's to their advantage to have you around. They can trust you. They can depend upon you. And that is a quality that we see in this particular passage of Scripture. His reputation is protected. Let's look towards the end of the chapter in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And I know it can be frustrating. I used to joke about this, but I've learned not to. After a meal and you have company, us men, we're going to go in the other room and we're going to talk and solve all the world's problems while the women just take care of the little things like doing the dishes and cleaning up the kitchen and cleaning up the house. What's more important? Okay. All right. Shut up, Tom. All right. But here we have a picture. And wives, I'll tell you what. In your husband, there is plenty to complain about. Nobody's saying amen. Okay. You're waiting what's next. You all know. You all know that there is no such thing as a perfect person. But you know what? You married that guy. And his reputation should be protected. And as you stop and you think, we're not talking perfection here. We're talking a principle, an application of this right here. Well, let's go on. We find that a good wife is a diligent partner. She's a willing worker. Let's look at verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And as we stop and we think of the mindset behind this, I don't believe we need to get legalistic about when you have to stay up later than the rest of your family and be working, by the way. And you have to get up before everyone else. And by the way, you're getting up to work. It's a mindset here. It's an attitude. She is willing to do what needs to be done. She's a wise shopper and a planner. Look at verses 13 and 14. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. And as we stop and we think of the virtue of being somewhat organized and not wasting money, nobody's perfect. But you see in this passage, there is an application that we can have. She keeps herself fit. This is kind of an interesting one. In verse 17, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now, I know that probably one of the first things that comes to mind is going down to the Y and working out and pumping iron and all that stuff. But I would suggest to you this, that it's far more than just making yourself strong so that you look good. It's actually, did you know that eating well and getting enough rest can help keep your strength up? And so the idea here is not to let yourself get so run down that you cannot do your duties or your function. And the scripture has something to say about that. And this is quite interesting, wouldn't you agree? She has a servant mentality. Let's take a look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's very considerate, and she looks out for others. In verse 20, we read, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so here again is a mindset, an attitude. It's not all about me. And I'll tell you what, I don't care if you're a man, woman, or child. We all have a tendency to focus on ourselves and ourselves first. Has anybody ever noticed that? It's the person in the mirror, so to speak. And yet, what we see is a characteristic in this woman who is willing to see the needs of others and put the needs of her family, and not just her family, of others before herself. That's a mindset. And it's a mindset, by the way, I think we all should have, is this vision. There's a verse in the Bible that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision. And this is it. She's a dependable mother. She's devoted to her family's needs. Let's look again at verse 15. She riseth up while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And so she's prepared. And so, children, when your mother says, put your hat on when it's the winter time. She's looking out for you. And she wants to protect you. And by the way, mothers, if you don't pay attention to how your children are walking out in the middle of the winter time when it's, I was going to say 30 below or 40 below, that's up north, but down here it's 20 below. It's still cold. If you don't care and you don't watch, just in this physical sense, then think again. I'll just encourage you. Rethink that. We need to take care of our family's needs. Also, take a look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, this is kind of interesting. And it's like, well, I don't care about myself. I'm just going to take care of everybody else. But yet at the same time, the ideal woman takes time to not be a slob. And I don't think that what is being looked at, and as we'll see later on at this particular passage of Scripture, the idea here isn't to win some beauty contest someplace and look this way. The idea is that there is a place for proper grooming. There is a place not to be a slob. And when you're out in public, at least look presentable. And I think that's part of modesty myself. We're told in the New Testament that women should dress modestly. There's more to that than just, being not dressing suggestively. Listen, if you dress up to the point where people are looking at you like wondering, where did she, what turn-up truck did she fall off from? That's not being modest. That's calling attention to yourself. We also see that the ideal woman is organized and has discipline. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And as we stop and we think of just being lazy, and I would say this, that I think many of us, at times, we all have a problem. We just are lazy. Are you with me on that? And there's times we just don't want to step up to the plate. And yet, the Bible never condones that. I think in our country today, one of the problems we're having with our young people growing up is that they've had everything done for them. Parents, they want them to have more. Helicopter moms, whatever you want to call it. And then they go on, and we've got schools and politicians. And I'll tell you this about teachers. Now, if you're here a teacher, I was a teacher, so I'll offend myself. Most of your college professors today have never been out of a classroom. They started in kindergarten at 5 years old. They graduated from high school. They went to college. They went and got more of the same. That's a master's degree, right? And then it even got piled higher and deeper. That's a PhD. And now they're sitting in a classroom teaching others. And I want you to know this, that you can make anything look good on a chalkboard. You can make communism look good on a chalkboard. You can make all kinds of organization and structures and theologies look good on a chalkboard. But I'm going to tell you this. And I think, and I will say this about the Minnesota technical system. They used to have a plan, and I think they still do. Do they? I don't know. Where you couldn't teach in a technical school unless you worked in the field. That's a good thing. At least it's a step in the right direction. And as we stop and we think about being organized and being not being lazy, What do we have? We are raising a whole generation of people who have sat at the feet of chalkboard wizards who don't know a thing about life and are teaching our children they can have everything free. Man has been trying to beat the curse since it was put on. God told Adam this, because sin has entered into the world, you will make a living by the sweat of your brow. The Bible tells us it's good for a man to get out and work with his hands and accomplish something. And what we have that is throughout the human race. And mothers, parents, we need to teach our children that there are things that need to be done. Start with the chores and give them some responsibility and teach them as they grow on. They're oriented to Scripture. Wise words, let's take a look at verse 26. 26a, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so as we stop and we think of who is kind, Jesus Christ is the example of kindness. We need to get oriented to Him and to act appropriately. We also see at the end of this chapter that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so as we think of fearing the Lord, and I would just like to end this morning with just a few comments of the secret of the ideal woman and where it does not lie. And as we stop and we think of being successful, verse 30 tells us this. It tells us that charm, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. And as we stop and we think of the appearance and form, we live in a culture that really does put external beauty, external form on the forefront. And you see it everywhere, everywhere. It's kind of interesting. Even all these aging creams that are sold on commercials, and they show these fore and after pictures, and they're 25-year-olds. They don't show any 80-year-olds. Let me just make this comment, or ask this question. What is wrong with aging gracefully? And I would suggest there's nothing wrong with aging gracefully. Deceitful, disappointing, beauty is vain. And so as we stop and we think of where success lies, it does not lie in what we see externally. That is not the place where it is. If we just kept our finger here and turned back to Proverbs chapter 11, this is commented on earlier, and it says this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." And I'll tell you this. Every one of us, and I have heard stories of our movie stars who have gone to Europe and have held up their noses at "you eat what?" And they're in somebody else's country, and they're just snots. Is it okay for a preacher to use that term? They're just rude snobs. And Proverbs 11:22 has something to say. I don't care how well you dress. I don't care how good you look. If you don't have a lick of common sense, then what good are you? And this is the point that he is making right here. So is a fair woman which is without discretion. It's like a pig. And Jesus, incidentally, used that phrase in the New Testament when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. And it's interesting that we have this right here. It is very transient, and I might just say that beauty, and I don't know, we just showed the pictures, and I hope nobody's offended by that, but the funerals of mothers that we've had in our church, I'll turn them back on when we're done here with the service, but it just doesn't seem that long ago to me. And I stop and I think, wow, she's been gone that long. Boy, is time flying. And you guys are how old? Holy mackerel. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be 67 this month. You think, and I remember when I really thought people in their 60s were old. Well, I got news for you. They are. Okay. So where does beauty lie? And as we stop and we think of that, turning back to Proverbs 31, verse 30, again, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that is where true beauty lies. True beauty is something that comes from the inside out, not the outside in. And it's something that we as all Christians need to grasp a hold of and learn. Religion says this. In fact, so does the world. If you behave this way, this way, and this way, somehow you'll be a different person. Legalism says, here's the rule, here's the rule, here's the rule, here's the rule. And if you follow that rule, somehow you'll be this spiritual giant inside. That isn't how it works, folks. It starts inside. And what's inside, if it's right, needs to peek out. And I might say this, that's what's inside always does peek out. And if you've got garbage inside, garbage in, garbage out. And we need to keep that in mind, that the ideal woman, the ideal man, the ideal Christian, their beauty starts on the inside. And it starts with the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? It's a healthy respect for His Word. It's a healthy respect for what He has to say to us. What do you think of what God has to say? Is it just, oh, that's okay for others, and I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad you're into it? No, the Word of God has something to say to all of us. The Word of God has specific things to say, and where we're at in our lives, the Word of God still has something to say. What do you think about it? Do you even think about it? And the point is that this is where beauty starts. And it goes on in verse 31 and says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her at the gates. It's no mistake that verse 31 comes after verse 30. It's no mistake that the fruit of her hands is a result of not being externally a knockout, but internally having a healthy respect for God and who He is. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll continue with our service and close. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just again thank You for Your Word. We thank You for mothers this morning. And we even think as we look at a passage like this that just sounds like it's an impossible thing, that at closer look, we would see that there are some principles that are very worthwhile. And we just pray that we would have respect for what you say, and that our desire would be to fear the Lord, to respect what you have for us. We thank you that you'll never let us down, that we'll never be disappointed, that the hope we have in Christ is indeed a real hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together.